Welcome back to another edition. It's all about the youth. I am your host, Aaron Sutton. I just really like to thank you guys for staying locked in with us, staying tuned in with us. Man, we've given you guys a phenomenal show week after week. This week, we promise not to let you down. Last week was very interesting, man. We had some great guys on here, man. They were talking about Daddy Daycare. Daddy Daycare was a hilarious show for me, but very informative. I like that they were able to discuss their views of how, you know, daddy coaches operate within an organization, how that you can prevent, you know, the attrition from happening where daddy coaches are leaving the organization and you're left without enough support to be able to continue to function at the level of where you were in the past. So we always want to make sure that you have those guys involved in your organization. They're going to help you continue to thrive and continue to grow. But as we continue to talk about great topics and cover great subjects, we get into some interesting things on today. We're going to go ahead and start focusing on the summertime. The summertime brings about that round ball, man. Y'all know the 72 degree action, the basketball life. AAU, is it helping or hurting our kids? We're going to ask you some questions. You guys sent some great questions to me. You sent some phenomenal questions to me, and I'm going to get into those things, man, as we talk about how this sport has evolved and developed over the years and how people have been able to exploit it, and they've exploited kids or they've helped kids. You know, so we have two sides to every story. I have some great guys that are going to be here, and they're going to keep it real with us, all the way real, as we keep it all about the youth today. And like I said, I just saw some great things, some great captions of great, great coaching. Then I saw some guys who said, man, I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want my kids to be a part of it. So we're going to ask the question, why do you feel like that? Why don't you want your kids to be a part of the phenomenal global sport of basketball in the AAU form? Does it take your kid away from the value of playing basketball? Does it take the value away from your amateurism experience? These are the things that the questions that was going to be asked today of the coaches that we have on this show. Like I said, today is going to be an action-packed show. You don't want to miss it. Just to keep it locked to what we're doing right here on It's All About the Youth, baby. It's All About the Youth. Stay tuned to It's All About the Youth Talk Show.
Killed, I believe, from the perspective that these kids are not being taught anything. They have intentions and they want things, but the way they see it is not how our league works.
Yeah.
You earn everything in this league. You're not entitled to anything.
Kobe, you've been pretty critical of the AAU system and the way American players are brought up.
Not pretty critical. I'm extremely critical. Because it doesn't teach our players how to play the right way, you know, how to think the game, how to play in combinations of threes. And I think everything is it's a reward system. I think coaches who are teaching the game are getting rewarded one fashion or another. And it's just a showcase.
Do you feel like
it's absolutely horrible for the game?
The young guys that are coming up, do you feel like the game is kind of stiff, whereas when your guys were more skilled?
Yeah, but I think that was just by luck, the generation that I grew up in. You know what I mean? Because like my generation is when the AAU basketball really started becoming shit. You know, and I got lucky because I grew up in Europe.
Right.
And, you know, everything there was still fundamental, so I learned all the basics. And I think we're doing a tremendous disservice to our young basketball players right now. Yeah. That's something that definitely needs to be fixed, and it's going to be one of the things that I definitely focus on.
AAU basketball, I'm going to leave it at. I hate it. Because there's a lot of coaches that are exploiting these kids to try to get a payoff one day. You know, it's good in some sense, but a lot of these AAU coaches are in it for themselves. You know, I know for a fact my son playing on the AAU team, my ex-wife kind of got mad at me because I cursed the coach out. Because he was just in it to try to make his son better, and his son pretty much was the worst guy on the team. So I hate AAU basketball. I think it exploits these kids. I wish they would just do something other, like play baseball, another sport, so their bodies won't get worn down. That's why you see so many of these kids get hurt so easily now, because they overwork. They're worn. I'm sorry. I'll get off that horse. I'm going to get off that that soapbox.
Know that guy. So we're back live on It's All About the Youth. I'm your host, Aaron Sutton. Man, we're locked in. Did you see that video for yourself? I promise you. That was like a wow factor when I first saw it the first time. So I kept watching it over and over again, over and over and over again, because I wanted to get it to into my system. Like, is this really what's happening with our sport? With that being said, I'm gonna turn it over to a couple guys that I have on the show today who I consider to be, in Baton Rouge, the AAU guys. I have with me
Elwin Williams of the Louisiana Razorbacks.
Elwin Williams, Louisiana Razorbacks.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I also have
Todd Chapman, Razorbacks, Clipper Racers Barbershop.
Clipper Racers Barbershop.
Yeah.
Which, hey, man, it's interesting to see. So what do you do for a professional a day in and day out?
I'm a financial contractor.
Financial contractor.
Yeah.
And you?
Barber.
You're a barber by trade.
By trade.
But after 5:30, 6 o'clock?
It's all about AAU.
It's all about AAU.
It's all about
it's a AAU. Full-time job.
Full-time job.
Full-time
so
job.
Tell me, I mean, how many kids do you have you normally deal with?
We average between 80 to 120-some kids.
80 to 120-some kids. So that, I mean, big picture-wise, is there 80 to 100-something elite basketball players?
No, there's no way.
There's no way?
You have to develop it.
So you know, one of the funniest things I hear kids say, yeah, I'm going to play AAU. So back in the day, we're watching these clips, right? Wow. We're watching these clips. And back in the day, as we get into the show, we'll talk a little bit more also, like getting in depth, like how did AAU evolve into where it is now? But back in the day, the game itself, you know, AAU, the organization, the structure was for the elite kid to have a chance to be showcased around the country. So how did we get to where now you got 80 kids participating in it, and these are not the guru or the kids that are considered the next up?
Well, it depends on where your morals are.
Okay.
With our organization, we believe in building kids from ages 3 years old to unsigned seniors. So you have to develop that talent. If you don't develop that talent, then you can't say elite kid.
So you spend more time developing talent versus just, so you're not just, it's not just about the travel experience. It's not about the ranking and the winning. It's about development.
It's about development.
So because Kobe Bryant came in, he just flat out said, man, the problem with the new NBA player is that he's not developed. It's a kid that's privileged.
Right.
It's a kid that's showing up and playing the game because he's a superior athlete. Now he's in a position to say, you know, I'm a superior athlete. I've traveled since I was 10, 11 years old. I've been ranked as one of the best in the you know, country because I was just more of a superior athlete. Now I get to the NBA, they got to teach me how to post. They got to teach me how to do a lot of the fundamental basics that I should have learned when I was an adolescent athlete or amateur athlete.
Right.
Is that the case?
Well, this is the thing. You have to start that base at a young age. If you start developing that kid at a young age, they should have all the fundamental tools by the time they reach middle school.
Okay.
That's when you start seeing people coming out. You have people that can come and actually look at these kids, evaluate these kids in camps and things of that nature.
So we say evaluation of kids in camps. We talk about, you know, you have a son that plays, right?
Right.
So tell me about the experience of coaching your son.
Well, it's a hard process because, you know, you as a father with your son, you want him to be the best.
Right.
You push him to be better than the next.
So you should have been here last week. I would have loved, see, you're honest about it. You want him to be the best. So do you have and I don't want to get into last week's show because last week is last week, but do you have a light switch that you turn off and on with your son? Are you coach and dad?
I tell him, when we playing basketball, I'm not your dad. Don't look at me as daddy. You know what I'm saying? Don't be like, when I get on you in basketball about stuff, I don't need you getting personal. Like, I'm
Robert Ory came up. He said he got angry with the AAU coach that his son was playing on the team. He said he got angry because the coach made it about his son. Have you ever experienced that, where a parent got angry with you and say, you know what, coach, you making this about your kid getting better?
Oh yeah.
So how do you handle that, coach? What do you do?
Well, you have to sit back, man. You have to sit back and you have to look at the whole picture.
Okay.
You have to look at the whole picture and look at the parent, the father, mm-hmm. and then you got to look at the child, you know what I'm saying? So if you got him trying to push him to be stronger than the next.
Have you ever reflected and say, you know what, in that situation, I'm just honestly wrong.
Yeah, I'm wrong. Yeah, you have to be able to be that man and say, I got to step back and let coach.
That takes a big man. I tell you, to go into a situation where you can look at it and say, well, you know what, I did put my son before the team.
Yeah,
I did make a mistake, and I called my son's number, and I should have called little Johnny because he was hot right then. Have you ever experienced that?
I have a son right now. He plays, and with me, I break it down to my son. I was doing this 15 years before you even brought to this world.
Right.
So this is the thing. I give you all the tools daily mm-hmm. as a father figure, mm-hmm. right? Because when you, at the end of the day, all this stuff that we do for these kids, as far as with destruction, building this situation. It's for life lessons.
Right.
Competition.
Right.
That helps you in the job force, mm-hmm. in school, the whole overall substance. Now with my son, I'm like this. The work that you get with me on the off time, before we come to the gym, before I come to practice, you get this anyway. When you get to the gym, I don't have the time to deal with you in the gym because I put it in with you already.
So, coach, what you're basically alluding to mm-hmm. is that you have a practice prior to practice, or is it more so one-on-one time? Is it dad-son time, or is it more like one-on-one time so I can make sure that you get to be advanced and elite? Do you feel like that's the case?
Not so much that, but I give you a schedule. Mm-hmm. You have a routine that you have to do. Your morning routine, your afternoon routine. Even your nightly routine before you go to bed, because education is first.
Okay.
So academics is first. But once academics is over with, you have your workout. Mm-hmm. You know, just your physical workout.
So on the circuit, you guys are gonna come up against kids that are gonna be 6'6", 6'5", 6'3", 12, 13-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know the size and the dynamics of your kids, mm-hmm. but ideally, what do you tell a kid that's athletically gifted and he might be like Isaiah Thomas?
Smaller ball player.
Now, you gotta play fast and smart.
Yeah, you gotta speed the game up a little bit.
You gotta speed it up.
You gotta have that heart.
Also, I'm a tweener, coach. I'm 6'6", mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But I play like a big man. Mm-hmm. Would you tell him, look, son, do you get to a point where you say, you know what, have you ever tried football? Have you ever told a kid
In some instances.
Soccer, I tell them soccer.
How do you feel like the football coach receives you guys right now? What's your relationship like with the football coach? You know what? I just saw y'all both of y'all facial expressions do like this, like. That means we've had some interesting conversations happen, right?
I'm gonna be honest with this.
We've had to have some interesting conversations.
Because
you talk to me.
With you knowing me, you know I came from the football structure to football.
Okay.
So what we do more of a CrossFit training.
Cross training, okay.
Yeah, so
explain it to me.
What happens is we train kids for all sports.
Okay.
Quickness.
So you got Swiss Army knife going.
Yeah,
we made it. Rob
Legends. Yeah, so you have to be all sports.
Okay, well, I'm talking about when this AAU season kicks in mm-hmm. and you're in the middle of all season training, mm-hmm. season training, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. What's the age groups that you usually work with? How old? What's the oldest kid that
we start training at the age of 3.
Okay.
3 all the way through unsigned seniors. For those kids that don't get that scholarship or they want to wait and see what's out there, try to get a better position.
A better offer?
Yeah.
So 3 to unsigned seniors. So I'm imagining, man, that basketball coach. How's your relationship with the local basketball coaches?
I just saw
that facial expression coming in. So I said high school football coaches and high school basketball. Well, it's tough because this is the question that I have. And I wish I had a high school coach here today mm-hmm. to explain their point of view mm-hmm. because a lot of them feel like they lost power. Is that true?
In some instances. It depends on the person. It depends on the coach, it depends on the situation and the structure, the organization, and what you have. With me, without kids, and I'm putting this on record, most of the high school coaches in the area, metropolitan mm-hmm. area, if we have kids that are coming through middle school, going to high school, they won't talk to us.
They
know these kids are trained properly. They know that Razorback toughness, that 94 feet, They gonna get in it and they gonna play basketball.
Coach said that Razorback toughness, 94
feet. Nolan Richardson, my eye, 94 feet. They gonna be in shape and they gonna be some tough, hard-nosed ball players. They gonna have the fundamentals of the game and they gonna know what to do.
So question, do you think every AAU team in the area operates under that same mindset?
No. In all honesty, no.
Is it lucrative to be in the AAU business?
For your child. We volunteers.
I think it costs a lot of money to play AAU basketball.
And it depends on the organization too, because you have some teams that have sponsorship.
Sponsor.
Right.
We're going to get into that though. Yeah. So we talk about exploitation. And when we come back, we're going to get more into the exploitation part of this thing, man. Whether it's the coach exploiting the kids for the use of, hey, I want to get a job. Mm-hmm. It's the sneaker companies exploiting the kids to get their brand recognized.
Right.
We're going to get really into this, man, when we come back. But I like a lot of the point of views that you guys have expressed. Hey, man, we're here for the community.
Right.
We're here for everybody, right?
Right.
But I saw that you guys said you didn't have that true relationship, like talking about it, with that football coach or that basketball coach in some instances, right?
Right.
Well, and that's
Before you get into it, coach, uh-huh. Keep it locked on It's All About the Youth. I'll be right back after
yes,
this.
Sir.
AAU basketball. Is this a positive or a negative?
Mm. Well, for me today, I think it's gone to the negative versus when we were playing AAU. When you looked at the AAU coaches back 70s, 80s, it was normally a ex-police officer or fireman or someone was doing it on the side because they were really trying to help the kids. Where some of the AAU coaches today, I think, are looking for a handout, or they see two or three kids in their neighborhood and they say, hey, y'all come play with me. And they're not really teaching them structure. So now if my son's 18 years old and he's being recruited, I ask myself, who's more important? Is the AAU coach more important or is his high school coach? And then during the season, is my son playing harder for my AAU coach or for my high school coach? And then when you watch them play, when they're playing AAU today, they just run up and down, no structure. And then when they get to their high school team, they're not playing well.
Playing the game the right way.
Yeah.
And that's what's lost.
Yep.
And it's lost of guys giving back. It was free.
Right.
So I think right now is if we can all give back for free the knowledge that we got, versus being something that you're making money off youth, which is totally dead wrong in my opinion.
That's the thing. The thing that the difference is when we played, the people who were involved with us in AAU basketball, their hearts were pure. They wanted to just help the kids, mm-hmm. teach the kids the right way. And back then, the high school coach a lot of times had the most influence, dealing with recruiting, all that kind of stuff. And you had people who were educators helping you along the way. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have, not every situation has a Smitty or a James Forrest, like you mentioned.
Yep.
And so you got guys who really don't have their best interest at heart, who really have the most influence. And
they have their best interest at heart.
Exactly.
Right.
But what I don't like either, and nowadays AAU teams, you guaranteed to play a certain amount of games, regardless right. if you win or not. You can lose every game mm-hmm. during that tournament, and you're guaranteed to play six games. Right. And that's how they get you in there. And so to me, the emphasis is not on winning. It's on showcasing your own individual talent. And there's a lot of talent out there, and mm-hmm. even, a lot of talent in the NBA, but not everybody necessarily knows how to win. I just think, that's a flawed part of the whole AAU model right now.
What an interesting viewpoint that we heard from some of the legends of the game. Once again, we're back on It's All About the Youth, man. I listen to it, I'm in awe, man. I mean, I don't know how you guys view that, but to me, that was eye-opening to say, you know what? This is how guys who've been through the system, who've benefited from the game of basketball all the way up to the professional level, who've retired, who's considered to be Hall of Famers, who've won championships at every level, this is how they view the game right now. They feel like it's in the toilet. Because the kids that are coming out of the game are not fundamentally sound enough to compete when they first get there and say, hey, you know what? This guy was developed. He came up through the ranks, and he came through the AAU system, and now we have a guy who can contribute and make our league stronger and better. Do you guys agree with what they're saying? Is that the overall culture? Or do you feel like you do a different, you do more of a justice to it?
Yeah,
I feel like it's different. It's a difference between what I may do and the next person may do.
Okay.
Now, the overall consensus, yeah, they're right.
They're right. That's why I'm speaking from a whole, you know.
Yeah,
dude,
you guys
travel the country with this. Do you see the product that's out there and you looking like, ooh, he's just a raw talent, that he's an athlete and he's just dunking the ball,
right,
or he hadn't developed a mid-range shot, he can't shoot free throws. But we're gonna reward him with MVPs because he's ranked in the top five. I mean, let's talk about exploitation here.
Well,
you know,
the thing is, when you talk about ranking,
mm-hmm,
your ranking comes from going to camps.
Okay.
You're the biggest kid in that age group, right?
Right.
So you're gonna be the most dominant kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They wanna make sure, everybody wanna put hands on that particular kid.
Right. So that goes back to this point, and it's gonna be one of my favorite shows. Stay tuned, because we're gonna talk about undue influence.
Mm-hmm.
Undue influence, we're gonna get into it a little bit today. Do you feel like you have an undue influence over a kid versus the high school coach that's working with this kid? He has it from 9th grade to 12th grade. Whereas you've been in his life since he was three.
Yep.
You said you started your organization at three. So 3 to 17, this kid has been under your influence. So the high school coach, does he really have a value in this kid's life? Can he really give some input and say so versus what you're giving him?
He does, because he's another cog in that kid's life.
Okay.
Right. You know, that's another person that comes to that particular child's life.
So what happens when he says, you know what, you're not a point guard, we're gonna train you as a small three. But you've trained him as a point guard since he was a kid. Do you go against that coach's viewpoint?
No, that kid should be able to make that adjustment.
Okay.
It should be, because if you're trained to be a point guard, that means you can handle the ball, you should be able to see the court, just different things.
I'm just using different scenarios.
Let me iterate. In the system that they're supposed to know every position, really.
Right. High insight,
yeah. Yeah, they're supposed to know everything.
But where we are in today's time, well, let's go back to the old fundamentals of how basketball was developed. You developed a skill based on size and IQ of ball.
But you can't do that.
Right. Now the big is center guard, whatever they call it.
It's a positionless game.
It's a positionless game. So now you learn every component of how to play the game. So the center has to be able to bring the ball up the court
and
shoot three pointers, right?
With one team, you might be a point guard, but with another team, you might be the biggest player on the team, and you had to run that center.
So
you still had to transition.
What they're getting at, Coach, are you guys still teaching the post game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we teaching the mid-range shot? Are we getting caught up in what Golden State is doing, that we jack up 33s a game? When you're 10, tell me something. A 10-year-old, do you encourage them, oh, man, we're just going to shoot the ball from the three-point line?
No, because it's a low-percentage shot.
That's right.
When you have young kids, you want to teach them,
high
for me,
percentage
the proper way is high percentage shot.
Right.
That means layup,
mm-hmm,
extended jump shot.
Okay.
That's mid-range.
Yeah. Right.
Because most kids are not strong enough to consistently make that three-point shot.
Right.
They see TV and they want to go off with the – when they see TV, you have to break them out of wanting to shoot a three-pointer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So do you guys discourage shooting three-pointers at the younger age?
We don't. Because if you're open, you can take the shot.
You can take a shot.
But we want you to think. You know, like I say, when I go back to IQ basketball, we want you to step in some, into your range.
So I look at Elwin. I just, let's go back to development.
Mm-hmm.
Development of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's one of the biggest things you think will attribute to having a sound relationship with a high school coach as well as, you know, an AAU coach? What are some things that you could do, you think?
Well, I look at it like this. Dealing with a child when you're starting at a younger age, you want to work hand in hand with that coach. You don't want to have a inner struggle,
mm-hmm,
to where the coach is saying, well, I want you to play summer league basketball. That AAU stuff ain't going to get you. No, you don't want to have that dissension in it.
So coming back to that,
mm-hmm,
summer league basketball, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Summer league basketball, every school around here has a summer league where the team that's going to play high school together plays together during the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you combat saying, well, hey, we're gonna travel and go. How do you tell a kid we're going to California this week, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
how do you put a kid, a 15-year-old, in a situation where he has to choose between going to California or going to play at Glen Oaks in the gym with his teammates?
This is the thing. You have to have an open dialogue with that particular coach too. That's why it's so important for that AAU coach to have a relationship with that coach.
Right.
Because most of the time, anyway, with AAU, you have your schedule already planned.
So this is the thing I go back to. In your organization, and not attacking your organization,
mm-hmm,
you got 80 kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 80 kids that's participating.
Mm-hmm.
We've already discussed and agreed that out of that 80, How many people do you think are true basketball players?
Maybe about 60% of the kids.
60% of the kids, you feel like they have a potential to play basketball at the highest level?
Not the highest level.
The next level. At least collegiate
basketball.
Okay. So do you cut?
No, don't cut.
So you keep
That's why we have so many kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the kids have to have something to do.
And 60% coach is a high number, I think. So out of 80 kids, you feeling like, you know, you somewhere around 50 of those?
Yeah, 50
kids.
Might go to college.
What I do, this is what I do.
So do you keep up with that, coach? Do you track that?
Yes, we do. Because what we do is...
The boys come back, really.
Okay.
They come back.
Well, what we do, we promise parents, when you bring your child to us, we promise those parents that we're going to get those kids to a point to get them to college. May not
based on athletic ability.
Well, yeah. Academics.
Okay.
Academics obstacle. Because with us, you have to keep a 3.5. That's starting out. Elementary school, you should have 4.0 anyway. Okay. But all the way through to be a part of our organization, we want you to keep that 3.5.
3.5 to be in the organization.
To be in there.
That's a high standard.
But we,
that's definitely a high standard.
Well, guess what, coach? It's all across the board. We never lost a kid like that.
Okay.
Because we stay
They'll
involved
fall
in those
off
kids.
Now.
Like
they do fall off because they can't keep the standard up. You know what I'm saying? They
So valuing this, coach. I mean, you have a son at home. You have a son at home. Valuing that eventually he's going to have to play school ball for a high school coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you put it in the high school coach's hand to help your son get qualified to go and play collegiate ball? Do you think?
I don't think that all high school coaches don't have a better. It depends on what system you're going with. Because you can't say all high school
So are coaches. You selective of where your son's going to play?
Yeah. I'm just trying, he's in seventh grade.
So you close?
Yeah, he close. That's a clutch time.
So how do you make that decision?
Right.
How do you make that decision? What do you value in a high school coach right now? I mean, share with people. What are you going
to
value?
I need you to understand the academics that he has to be.
I mean, the schools are the schools. I mean, books are books.
I'm talking about what's going.
You're not deciding it based on the school, are you? So what if it's a school?
I don't want him to go to a failing school.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure.
A school that's not really good in the district.
A school that's above standard.
Right.
You know, above our own task or own standard is initially ideal.
Right.
But we also looking for a school that's what? Elite in what?
Elite
form?
In basketball.
Okay.
And
you're not hiding that. You're not going to hide that. Mm-hmm. So you want your son to be a part of an elite program.
Right.
What are some of the things that you value in an elite program in high school that you're going to say, you know what? This is why we want to participate. This is why we want to.
The discipline that they install in the kids. The discipline as far as the game. The discipline as far as their work ethic. What they install in them in practice is worth that. What they put in their head as far as what you have to do outside of practice.
Or is it about when I walk in there, I see these trophies and I just...
No, I don't like that. I don't like that because I always tell my son, you need to go to... If you with a team that's not progressing, you need to be that one to make the team be
that
team.
What if he says, Dad, I want to go play with my friends? What if he chooses to go say, Dad, I want to go play with my friends,
mm-hmm.
and then go to a program that's lackluster, but you got a decent coach there?
Well, I came from a team where my son wanted to stay with his friends, and it was with the program was lack of hustle to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I moved him to Elwin over here, where I've been knowing him all my life. You know what I'm saying?
So you left an organization and moved based on the fact that
I felt that the program that he was with was not the program to get him to the next level.
Why was that?
Because it just wasn't disciplined as far as they practice. You gotta be structured in your practice to me. You know what
Elwin, we're gonna bring you back on for our episode called They Stealing.
I would love that one.
Do AAU coaches get mad with each other and say y'all stealing the athletes?
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Has that happened?
Yes, it has.
Yes.
Oh, man. I could only imagine.
Dude, they come all the time. And I'm gonna be honest with you.
They get mad. Do y'all stop talking to each other? Y'all do
that? No, I don't get mad about it. Yeah. That's a parental decision.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if a kid doesn't have a parent at home that makes decisions for him and a coach comes in, they just going for the next best thing.
So parents walking in the gym, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Parents been with the Razorbacks for years, right?
Yeah.
And now they walk in the gym, they got a different team logo on the front of that thing.
It doesn't change.
Do they stop hugging? Do y'all stop talking to
you? Well, it depends on how they perceive you, because with me, I'm still treat them the same way, especially the kids, because yeah, it's not the kid's fault.
The kid was innocent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Coach, but parent decision.
We touched on something earlier, but I wanted to go back to it to make sure that we cover it for our viewers. Mm-hmm. Coaches getting paid to coach at AU. Mm-hmm. You guys say you guys are on the volunteer side of it.
Right.
Have you ever talked to a coach that said he got paid, and what type of money is in AAU pay-wise?
Oh, yeah,
it's a lot of money. I mean, you're talking about major corporation and brand sponsorship. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to that, you know, you have a stipend and you have to make it work however you see fit.
But you got to move that team around wherever they say go and play in all their classics and events.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of times, you know, more so than not, you have to perform with that group they give you. You have to be able to make sure that team wins to keep that brand looking good.
Okay.
Nobody wants to have that unseen brand.
Okay.
Brand on them anyway.
So brand affiliation increases the revenue opportunities, yes, the bottom line, yeah. Of yes, course. Right? Yeah. So tell me something. So Nike comes to you tomorrow and say, you know what, coach, we got a $20,000 check. Mm-hmm. We want you to become an exclusive Nike team. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do that?
Yes, I am, but it's going to be certain stipulations. I've been in that position before.
Okay.
You know, we've been a Team Jordan team for years. And the thing is, I can't sell my soul. I can't sell my name, because we predicate off this off of other things. It's been built off other things.
So the value system in your organization is
going to be there.
Okay,
it's
value. Be there. Coach, I also look at this. Going back to, you know, kids, you say kids, you got a high percentage of kids that go on to play collegiate ball from your organization. Do you have a lot of them that are playing NBA ball? Do they make it?
I only have one. Marcus Thornton, he came through the organization. He played with quite a few organizations within Baton Rouge.
Okay.
But I have quite a few kids that play collegiate basketball.
Collegiate basketball.
Collegiate basketball.
And they come back and they are part of it?
Yes, they are.
So how does that feel? Elaborate, how does that feel for you?
Man, I feel great, because you're giving a child, some kids don't have that way out
of
their neighborhoods. So you give them an opportunity to be seen, to show their talents, and then if they're an academic scholar, that's even better. So they get a chance to succeed in life, and they can come back and give something back. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, you have to feel good. It's that hug and embrace for what you're doing.
That's it, man.
That's when you start with the little kids and build them up.
You know?
And they come and help them practice and everything. You know, they'll come back and help, you know, help in training. You
so
know?
They're part of the brotherhood.
They're part of the brotherhood. It's family.
Yeah.
After every chant, we be like, family first. Family. It's family.
Family first.
You know what I'm saying? It's family.
So you heard it yourself, man. We had some phenomenal guests on today, man. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you guys giving us some insight on how the world of AAU operates. Also, you know, give me your viewpoint on, is it good or is it bad? You know, but you gave a different side of it that a lot of people didn't know. We showed some clips from some viewpoints of, you know, guys we consider to be legends in the game, and they gave a viewpoint saying, well, hey, you know, we feel like this, but you guys gave a different side of it. Yeah. And I just want to really appreciate you guys for taking out some time today.
Appreciate it.
And stopping by, man.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've seen you guys in action, man. You know, I dabbled a little bit and called myself coaching a little basketball.
You ain't do bad.
No, but we had a good time, man. Yeah. And like I said, I just want you guys to continue to be in our community, continue to work with our youth, man, and making a difference. That's what it's about.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
That's utmost first.
All right, and keep it locked right here on It's All About the Youth, because we'll be back with more about AAU. And welcome back to It's All About the Youth, man. What a show today, bro.
It was, man. Basketball.
Basketball. I mean, not.
I tell you, man, I'm like Robbo, I hate it.
I hate it. It's not foreign water, because you're about 7 feet tall in the air. Yeah.
But I'm glad you said that, because that's what I explain to kids. If your mama 5'5", your daddy 5'6", there's no chance that you're going to be 6'5". Right now.
Unless your pawpaw was that big. You can't just say that.
Man, I'm still saying.
Your pawpaw might have been that big.
I done seen too many kids that could have been great shortstops.
Right.
That went out there and tried to be back.
That is true.
Now, they come out and play AAU basketball.
Yeah.
They average 2 points a game.
Right.
If they play in a game.
Right.
When they could have been playing another sport. So it takes away playing another sport. And that's the problem that I have with it. Because AAU basketball has actually taken over year-round. So you're playing year-round basketball. And if you really want to be on that level that you're playing with the Razorbacks, You know, you're playing on that high level.
You got to spend the time.
So now you have a 10-year-old kid who now he's just focusing on basketball, and he may not be that high school basketball player.
Right. He's not. He might not be the guy.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I was like some of the NBA players that was talking about it. When those guys were saying where AAU used to be, because when I was coming up, man, we had a guy that, one guy on our team, we won state championship. Now, we had a state championship team. But only one guy played AAU basketball.
He was good enough to play.
Yep, exactly.
So he went to the
Nike camps. He went to the Adidas camps. He was the one guy. The rest of the team, we played summer league basketball with our team. Now, we became better to help him out. Yeah. And the crazy thing about it is, the guy, Bobby Fields, didn't play AAU basketball. He wasn't one of those elite players. He made it to the NBA before because his work ethic was different.
All the way
so
around.
Because the summer league caused him to have to work harder because he wasn't pampered like he was on the AAU team. Like some of the AAU teams now, man, like Coach Williams said, 60% of his kids are elite players. So you got 40% of the kids that's just torn the registration fees.
Right.
It's a bad model.
So those 40, once again, using that scenario, the 40%, like you said, they're carrying the cost.
The cost for that super kid.
Because it becomes expensive. Regardless, we move kids around. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, moving kids around can be very expensive. Parents think that $20 can get you from here.
$20 is going to get you to the first gas station. Right. Your child going to spend that money up in the first gas station. Because we done had times.
We
done been on the road. Because it's not about AAU basketball. And the reason the topic of the show, we talked a lot about AAU basketball, but we really didn't hit on the fact that AAU basketball has messed with the youth sports culture. Because
overall,
now travel baseball takes the AAU model.
Yes.
707
football
takes it. We did it. We had kids. Right. We took 707 kids around the country. And it cost us.
So, and we didn't get to really elaborate and go into detail with them as much as I would like to go about how coaches feel about the other sport coaches feel about how AAU is as shattered.
I'm ranting and raving because I'm an other sport coach as well. I'm a baseball guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I figure summertime is supposed to be for baseball. I'm a firm believer of playing the sport in its season.
Right.
I like the idea that Coach Williams said about the CrossFit training because that's really good. So now you're getting trained not just on sport-specific stuff, you're getting trained on your body. Yeah. Because that development age from 10 to 13 to 14.
Something that came about, though, because kids were saying, I don't like baseball. I want to continue to play basketball.
And that's because that carrot, and you mentioned it, you asked a question on it. What's the difference of me traveling to California, me saying over at Anna T. Jordan playing a baseball game?
Right.
I'm going to travel to California.
Right.
But the travel baseball has taken that same model and said they're going to travel as well.
Yeah.
So they have been traveling as well. So that takes away, because all said and done, man, the recreational kid, the recreational athlete is getting hurt by
the amateurism side of this is being questioned, because now when you start putting big brands in involved, and you saw it back when Nike and Adidas and all the evolution of how it came about.
The history of AAU basketball was based off of three dates.
Yes.
Three different contracts. Jordan came out with his Nike contract.
That's right.
Kobe Bryant got his Nike contract. And golly, I forgot the other guy.
Not Elton Brand. It was somebody else.
The third guy got his contract. And that changed how AAU basketball was.
Allen Iverson.
No,
I think it was. I think it was AI. It had something to do with AI. I'm telling you.
Trace McGrady.
T-Mac.
Trace McGrady
T-Mac.
Was the other guy. When he got his contract, it changed because all those guys, Kobe and the Tracy, was coming out of, you know, just early out of high school type stuff. So it affected how high school recruiting started becoming for AAU basketball.
That's right.
So it changed. It became that money game. And
it's lucrative. Then I was funneling the money. You know, money shelters was, I can come through the shoe side of it versus being on the, you know, back door side of it. So now I'm legit with a kid and he's endorsed by my product.
Well, you see that because all of a sudden you saw colleges were Adidas schools. Nike schools,
right.
Reebok schools.
You changed and you became brand
specific. Unfortunately, we was a Avia school. Oh, yeah. I know y'all never heard of Avia.
Avias.
They're selling them at Walmart right now. But our coach got a contract off of that.
Right.
We were a Avia school. He actually was able to buy a car off of that. So just imagine, he bought a Hugo. When it was called. But just imagine some of the bigger contracts that were going out to the Temples and the Georgetowns and the Kansas. I'm talking about the powerhouses.
Through the
Michigans and stuff. So when you saw the Fab Five come out, you knew that the Fab Five, Chris Webber then played AAU basketball.
Speaking of that, going back to the Fab Five were not just teammates at Michigan, and people were surprised that you started five freshmen. No.
Go
back and trace. They played AAU basketball together.
And the AAU coach told them that you had to go to this certain high
school. This is where you're going.
Now, the one thing I have to give to Chris Webber, because he mentioned about his AAU coach, mm-hmm. he said that the AAU coach told him that he had to keep his grades up.
Right.
You were getting a better education going to that school as well.
So you look at LeBron and his friends. For instance, they chose St. Mary because...
As a group, yeah.
The dad ended up becoming the assistant coach, now the head coach of the school.
And that's how a lot of it was being filtered down to it. And that's why I think the program has kind of went sideways on what the...
Everybody wants the opportunity to become the next coaches are living through kids.
That guy.
You know, that guy. You attach yourself to that guy.
Yeah.
And that guy gets a door open to you. So you saw football changes his rules.
Yeah.
Now, if you hire that guy, he has to coach on the field.
Yeah.
He has to actually get on the field and coach.
It goes into
one. You have a two-year.
It goes into one of our episodes that we're going to. Uncle Daddy coach.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those guys turn into Uncle Daddy coach.
Right.
Where they come
relationship
in
with the mom and all that stuff. Funding everything, and mom can't afford to travel.
Exactly.
She doesn't have the knowledge to know how to get from here to there, but he's done the research or he's built the relationship to get them from point A to point B.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's a big picture, man. Undue influence, though, is
exactly.
a big one that we're gonna definitely touch on.
Because I mean, these guys that was on here, man, it was a great program.
Phenomenal.
See, that's a good model.
Yeah. I've seen their programs. The ugly side of it is
some of the other programs.
The opportunists.
There.
You know, those guys who wake up and say, you know what, this is how I have to pay my bills, so it'll be $200
exactly.
for your son to come try out.
And in their mind, because, you know, we deal with coaches. We've been dealing with coaches for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
In their mind, they feel like they're doing the right thing because I volunteer myself. Because a lot of them start off as volunteers.
Yeah.
But when they get registration money in their hand, they were like, well, I go pick the kid up all the time. I need to get me a new vehicle.
So now they're justifying inflation of registration fees is amazing.
Yeah,
to
it's outrageous.
So I look at, you know,
track was the first one.
Yeah.
Track back
exploitation,
in the day. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
There were five kids probably with that star runners.
Right.
Who never paid fees, and then you had somebody who did the race walk, somebody who paid for those kids to go.
Mm-hmm.
So AAU kind of took that model. Those teams took that model. Travel baseball is taking that model. 7-on-7 is taking that model. Anybody that's going to the elite level, like Coach was saying, you got 60% of the kids are actually athletic enough to go to that next level. 40% just want to play basketball.
They just want to play.
And they don't realize in a lot of situations, and again, hats off to the Razorbacks on their program, 40% of the kids in the other program are being exploited.
That are pure
They're $300 to $1,500 registration fee is paying for that super kid that only comes to practice who lives in a whole other state maybe.
We touched on basketball. We talked about baseball. But we can't forget about that. We have volleyball programs too.
Yeah.
The club volleyball is just the same model.
It is.
The same model. You have a lot of young ladies who think that they have the potential to earn a scholarship opportunity based on just playing on their club team. And it's been proven that they are getting scholarships
Title IX makes it equal for any girl's sports. It's open, wide open right now.
So the watered down version that you get at school or the lack of influence that the coach may have from the high school aspect, he or she can't trump the fact that the kid says, you know what, I don't have to play for you.
You know from example, and I know you probably didn't remember this, but soccer is the same way.
Yes.
There's a girl that was at Southern Lab didn't have a soccer team.
Didn't have a soccer team.
And got a scholarship off of soccer.
Athlete, yeah.
Because she played on travel soccer.
And she's good. She's a good club athlete. Soccer. So, yeah. But she got a scholarship.
Off of soccer.
Yeah.
And never played any high school soccer because the school didn't have a soccer team.
Right. Didn't offer the program.
So that's the thing that parents are seeing. I mean, even with the scandal with the parents paying for to get the paying to get the ACT scores and the SAT scores changed, parents are seeing opportunities out of this. They're seeing the chance for their child to be able to go to the college, go to the next level, go to an esteemed college, and hopefully go to that professional level side of it to be able to make more money.
It's all about that side of it. And then I'm living through my kid. This is an opportunity for me to get my kid on the level. It becomes a social club.
No, you're right.
It becomes a social club. So just like dance parents, I mean, we can go on.
Yeah,
this motto has been.
And that's why I said it. The youth sports culture.
Not just
youth sports basketball.
We touched on basketball today, but this has affected the entire culture of how sports, youth sports is being conducted.
Because once, it's just like a business model. Mm-hmm. Once you see an effective business model,
you put it in a box and it's
somebody's going to take it and run with it. So everybody's not, they're not going to reinvent the wheel. They're going to see that this business model worked for basketball. I'm going to use it in soccer. I'm going to use it in track. I'm going to use it in
football.
Volleyball.
Just came along a little later.
Yeah.
You know, and now you're starting to see it to the level of kids are getting offered off 7-on-7 games.
Yeah.
You know, and
Spandex Olympics.
Spandex Olympics, man, is turning into, hey, I got a college opportunity. I don't even start. For my high school team.
Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a disservice for the defensive linemen, the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Because they don't get the skill.
They don't get that. They don't get that.
Yeah.
They don't get that chance
to
go.
Yeah, the skill positions are get
to now you're starting to see the big man camps.
Yeah, yeah,
big man camps. So they're coming to get them, but
because
you have a shortage. You have such a shortage. And I'm going to share, I don't want to get too deep into football technical side of it.
Yeah.
But you have such a shortage in the skill talent of kids right now on the line because they're saying offensive linemen are coming to school and they've been in the zone systems where they just had to get in the way.
Yeah.
So we can play 7-on-7 on in tackle.
Exactly. So they hadn't even been trying to block.
Right. Right. So it's been very interesting to see how do you continue to develop a kid in a culture that says you don't have to be developed. You just need to be good enough to play.
To play. And that's what basketball.
Where are we with that?
That's what they're complaining about basketball. Yeah.
What's the cure?
But I'm glad you talked about football because our next episode, and I mean we have a graphic about it, our next episode is actually going to be about does God really care about football? Does God really care about football? And the great thing about it is we're going to have the author on here and we're going to have a really esteemed guest.
Hey,
we're going to the religious sector on this one.
Right.
We're bringing some, we're going to have church next on the next session.
Right.
That we're going to talk about it.
Does God really care about football?
Does God really care about football?
I tell you what though, looking back at my views of how the game of football has blessed my life and how I've been able to evolve through playing the game, coaching the game, or even just being around the game, it helped me to become a better person.
And that's good.
And to be a servant leader. So I look at it from that aspect.
And again, it goes back to our prime goal is make our youth a priority again.
Right.
We want to make our youth a priority again. We're not Donald Trump or anything, but we want to make our youth a priority again. It's all about the youth.
It's all about the youth, baby. If you're not in the community, do your best to get in the community. We'll see you next time on It's All About the Youth Sports Talk.
It's only entertainment.
Not entertained. Are you not?